With me on the phone right now for my edition of Farmer Friday, I've got Larry Snuggs. And, of course, our Farmer Friday is brought to you by Legends Farm and Lawn, your one-stop shop for outdoor power equipment on Highway 5 South in Centerville. Larry, thank you so much for taking time out and being with me for Farmer Friday.
You're welcome.
All right. Of course, Larry, you're over in the Lacona Milo area, and some people think about that soil as being pretty decent. What's your point of view of the soil that you have there to work with?
Some of it is real decent. We've got some farms that are really good. Now, the particular farm that I live on, which happens to be a Century Farm, it's pretty rough. I mean, it's pretty rough. It's basically pasture and hay ground, and but you get just a few miles either way from me. I've got a 40 that's up on Highway 65 that is, it's all tillable, you know, but it changes drastically from just in a few miles.
Yeah, that's the way Iowa is. Lots of times perfect ground, and then all of a sudden things happen, but that's the way it goes. So you've been in farming for most of your life. Talk about how you got started way back when.
Actually, I got started in 1966. Of course, I graduated from Sheraton High School, and I was in Voc Ag and FFA, and I had 10 acres of beans. I just called it my project back then. That ain't what they call it now, but I had 10 acres of beans, and my senior year of high school, I rented an old rough farm that should have never been farmed. You could raise more cuckleburs than anything on it, and it just went from there. I tell people, my wife and I got married in 1970, and everybody thought I wasn't going to show up at the wedding because I was finishing planting beans, but I made it.
Hey, talk about your equipment back then. What was your tractor of choice?
I had an M diesel farm mall, and the reason I had an M diesel, because they were, I grew up on red tractors. I bought an M diesel because they were totally worthless. They'd crack a head every time you turned around, but you could buy them for a song and a dance. I had an M diesel, and I had an A John Deere that you cranked with a flywheel.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's what I started with.
Well, you got to start somewhere. You got to crawl before you walk, right?
And if my memory serves me right, I give like $550 for the M diesel, and I know I gave $135 for the old A John Deere.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. If only we can now, right?
If only I had them both back.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All right, so talk about now, the present day farming operation. You help your sons out quite a little bit. Talk about that.
Yeah, I help them. Like I said, I haven't been in a combine for, golly, I'd hate to say, probably 10 years. I've got a 19-year-old granddaughter that knows more about the equipment than I do anymore. In fact, she just left here a while ago from feeding the heifers. My son's got 200 and some head of replacement heifers that he bought out of Wyoming on feed, and she's already been here and fed them silage and got that done. And, of course, he drives a semi about 4 or 5 days a week over the road hauling livestock, and he's supposed to be home any minute now, but he keeps busy doing that as well as his farming, and it's a full-time job. I have trouble keeping up where everybody's at, and I guess it's none of my business, and I don't even try anymore.
There you go. Now, some people put off that transition from the older, if I may say so, older generation to the younger generation. Talk about how that worked out for your family.
It seemed like he got out of college and kind of wanted to farm, and he kept saying, wished he could find more farm ground, wished he could find more farm ground, and he did have some rented, even while he was in college. I said, you better be careful what you're saying. What do you mean? I said, you say that one more time, you're going to get some more farm ground. And so that's kind of how it happened. I just kind of stepped back and seen how it was going to work, and it looked like it was going to work well. So my wife and I just kind of decided we had toy shows and tractor shows and other things we wanted to do, and you know, I'm not complaining or want sympathy, but I lost both of my parents at an early age, and that was always in the back of my mind, and I guess I wanted to go do some things before that might have happened to me.
That's a good analogy there. I'm talking with Larry Snuggs for my edition of Farmer Friday today, as he's out of Lacona, the Milo area, close to Indianola, Warren County. And now you do have a sheep flock, right? Talk about that.
I have about 75 head of market ewes, and I've had them ever since I was I got started in the sheep industry, or whatever you want to call it, as a 4-H project when I was 10 years old. And to the best of my knowledge, I've never been without sheep since then. I can't remember any time period when I didn't have any. After my wife and I's kids did get out of 4-H, I kind of sold off and just had a few around to clean up pastures and lots. And then I thought, well, you know, if you got 10 or 15 head, you might as well have 20, and
right.
20 led to 30, and things just kept going. The thing that really discourages me, maybe not discouraged, but it's frustrating, the wool industry has went south bad. I mean, there's not even, to the best of my knowledge, I still have my last year's wool because I can't find a market for it.
Right.
And you do have to shear them, but then you just basically burn or destroy the wool because there's no, and I can remember when you could sell the wool years ago. You could sell the wool, and if you really kept close track, the money you got out of the wool would basically pay for the animal's feed that year. Well, it won't even pay the shearing bill now.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, and that's frustrating to hear. Wool being a natural product is a material that is very, very useful in the industry, but the demand for it has fallen off, you know, just like you said. But you have to shear those animals. Otherwise, they're going to be quite heavy with that wool carrying it around.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. A few years ago in our travels, I'm not even sure how that came about, but I did meet an older lady from Georgia. I'm not sure where. But anyway, she had a spinning wheel and so forth and so on. And for several years, I would box up a big box of wool and send her. And she was tickled to death to get it. And, of course, she's passed on now. But I thought that was kind of neat, you know, that she would actually take the raw material and make something out of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's too bad that profession / vocation is not around as prevalent anymore. Hey, let's talk about some of your hobbies that you have. You mentioned toy shows. I know you go on tractor rides, and you also restore tractors. Talk about that.
Well, you know, it's something my wife and I can do together, and we do it together. We go to several toy shows, getting ready to go to two this coming weekend in Des Moines and Adventureland. We host a couple of toy shows throughout the year, one in Indianola at the latter part of September at Log Cabin Days, and the upcoming one at the Southeast Warren High School, which will be February the 15th, and all the proceeds from that one, every dime we make off of that show, goes back for scholarships for the graduating seniors at Southeast Warren. Last year was probably the best show we ever had out of the 14 or 15 years. We made over $6,000 last year to donate back for scholarships. And that all come about when the scholarship deal for us, my wife and I, all come about when we lost our daughter and we wanted something to do in her memory. So we set up a scholarship deal at the school and threw dollars for scholars at Southeast Warren. And that's how this toy show come about, and our daughter in the Kansas City area calls it a disease. You know, grandpa and grandma's got this disease. They go to toy shows and collect toys and tractor rides and stuff. But she comes in, our daughter in Kansas City, her and her family come and help us periodically at shows, and it's a good family event, and you know, it's just good fun.
I'm talking with Larry Snuggs from the Lacona and Milo area for my edition of Farmer Friday. Larry, give me one example of a really cool tractor ride that you like to take part of.
I've been on the WHO ride several times. I am a member of Clark County Old Iron. I just, last year I was president, and we have a two-day ride, and all the proceeds from that two-day ride also go to scholarships that we give out. And I like the two-day ride at Clark County Old Iron. It's just not at Clark County. We've been in Ringgold County and Madison County last year, and it's just a fun deal. I like that two-day ride. You meet a lot of very nice people. It's just a lot of fun. And of course, we have a banquet on Friday night, and it's just a lot of fun. And I really like the shorter rides. The WHO ride's great, but there's so many people there, you can't meet them all. And, you know, like my daughter says, when I get started talking, I don't know when to shut up. But I like to try to meet and talk to everyone.
Well, it's good to have a hobby, and you've got quite a few of them. I appreciate your time. I've been talking with Larry Snuggs. It's brought to us by Legends Farm and Lawn here for Farmer Friday, your one-stop shop for outdoor power equipment on Highway 5 South in Centerville. Larry, thanks for taking time out. And just a reminder to our listeners, if you want to hear this interview all over again, go to our website, www.KIICradio.com, and select that Listen Live tab that's at the top there. And on the right side, you can see this podcast with my interview with Larry Snuggs, and listen to it all over again if you want to. Larry, thanks so much for being with me today on KIIC.
Thanks, Pat. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to visit with you. And I enjoy your radio station and your show.
We appreciate you doing that.